1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, you allow me to read a couple of verses to you. The Bible says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now," hallelujah, thank God there's a now, "but now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto thy name." I like what Solomon says. "Now, therefore, command thou that they hew me cedars." Solomon said, "Now, let's get with it." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Would you bless us this morning? God, we need you today. We need to hear from heaven this morning. Holy Ghost of God, thank you for the privilege and that's mine to be able to be here. Thank you for the honor that I have of being able to be supported and co-labor with this dear church and these my friends. And Father, I pray this morning that you'll bless us and help us today. God, I ask that you'll have your will and way in every heart and life in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. The last time I was here, I had a cold. I couldn't talk and I was choking through stuff but I don't have a cold. I just cry a little bit. My nose runs. But I want to say this morning several things. Number one, I want to say thank you for allowing us to be part of your missions program. And thank you for taking us on. Thank you for supporting us now. Thank you for praying for us. It is vital that it's vital to our ministry. This year and probably most of next year, I'm not going to take as many regular meetings just to be in a meeting. And every place I go, I'm not turning anybody down, but every place I go, they have to let me do several things. Number one, they have to let me show my videos and let me talk about our ministry, not only here, but there, but they also have to at least allow me to speak about what's on my heart. And most churches do, but you know, and not every place I go is a missions conference. I go to a lot of revival meetings. Well, can I tell you something? I think the most important conference you'll have in your church is a missions conference. Or that because it refocuses your attention on the things that are important about getting people saved. But that's what a revival meeting used to focus our attention about. Revival meetings used to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and the great need. But can I say this morning, I just want to, for about 15 minutes, and because I want to be out of here about 12 o'clock so that you can go home and so that I can go eat. Amen. I thought about what is going on here, and I want you to understand, David's out of the picture. Solomon, his son, has taken the kingdom, taken the throne, and Solomon writes to Hiram, who's a friend of David's. And Solomon asked Hiram if he would be willing to help him do what his father could not do. Build the house that's supposed to be the place, the resting place for the Ark of the Covenant, for the presence of God. And Hiram writes back and says, absolutely, I'm more than willing to do this. But Solomon, in his plea, makes this statement in verse 4. He says, "But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurring." He says, David has killed everybody. God has allowed David to have complete peace and rest, taken him home, and now the Bible says, and here's the key, the verse 5 is the key. "And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son will, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. I got to looking at that phrase just jumped out of me where it says, I purpose to build. That little phrase just kind of jumped out at me. I purpose. And as I thought about this, I look up the word purpose and it means this. It means that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. It means the aim or end to which the view is directed in any plan or any exertion. It's talking about an intention or a design. Purpose always includes the end in view. Synonyms for the very word purpose means it means to reason. Another synonym is intention or drive or aim or goal. Have you ever asked someone why they did something? Have you ever just walked up to somebody, why did you do that? Have you ever asked your children, why did you do that? I was usually never that kind. I usually ask my children, what are you, an idiot? I don't suggest you do that. That's not parenting 101. That's what you ought not do as a parent. And I've heard this when I've asked others why you did something. I've heard this. I wanted to. I decided to. I felt like it. I did it on purpose. I did it on purpose. That means I had every intention to do exactly this. And may I say this morning, nothing can or will ever be accomplished or built or constructed or done or executed or forged or garnished or honed or happened or inspected or justified or kept or killed or led or labored, mended, materialized. Nothing will ever be noticed and opened and performed. Nothing will ever be questioned and quoted or resolved or redeemed. Nothing will ever be set up or seen, or targeted, or transmitted, or taken on. Nothing will ever be undertaken, or get underway, or will ever become visualized. Nothing will ever be worked on or worked out. Nothing will ever become zeroed in on. I couldn't find an X. Until I purpose. You see, the slides you saw a few minutes ago and ones you'll see tonight, and the ministry of starting churches here in America, not only here, but there, here and there. That's where we get the acrostic for HAT, H-A-T, here and there. It's on the back of my card. Your pastor quoted it this morning. Can I say this morning, until you and I purpose, nothing will ever be accomplished. Have you ever asked yourself, or have you ever asked others, what is my purpose? Do I have a purpose? May I say, each one of us has a purpose in the Lord. Each one of us has a purpose. See, what's my purpose, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm fixing to tell you. Can I say this morning, I believe, number one, our first purpose, God has a purpose for everyone, and I believe it's for all to be saved. It's for all to be saved. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering elsewhere, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you this something this morning, my friend? You say, I don't even know why I'm here. I do. If you're not sure why you're here, I have every understanding why you're here. The pastor and Brother Choma, we know why you're here. The person that invited you to come knows why you're here. You say, what is that, preacher? For you to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have the opportunity that we had to trust Him as your Savior like we did, to know and experience the joy and the wonder that lives in our soul. You have that opportunity. That's why you're here. You say, I don't know why I'm here. I do. Ooh, ooh. Ask me. I'll tell you. I know why you're here. Can I say God has a purpose for everyone, not only for the lost, for all of us to be saved, not only for the lost to be saved, but can I say for all of us to be servants? Do you understand, my friends, that you and I are to serve? The Bible says that we're to serve the Lord with gladness. God expects and wants service. I've got notes and things all over my sermon because I was writing more sermon last night at 1 o'clock in the morning when I should have been sleeping, or at 12 o'clock, but it was really 1 o'clock. For all of us to be servants. The Bible says, but rise and stand upon thy feet in Acts chapter 26, verse 16. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. God told Paul, Paul's reiterating his journey, his salvation. And the Bible says, Paul says this, he says, Paul said, God said to me, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. God said, I'm going to, here's my purpose for every Christian, for every believer. What's my purpose? To be a minister and a witness. To be a minister. What's that mean? That means to be a servant. To serve. To do something that most people don't even understand the word servant. Jesus made the very statement, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give my life a ransom for many. You know what it is? It's understanding who He is and who you and I are. And as God is Almighty God, we are nothing but, the Bible calls us dust. Some of us are better looking piles of dust. Some of us are a little bigger, a little smaller piles of dust, but we're all piles of dust. There's nothing good inside of this flesh. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing good about Lou D. Philip Antonio. Nothing. Nothing. The only thing I can think of that's good about me is Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. And what He's done to me, and what He's allowing, what He's doing through me, but there's nothing good about this flesh. And can I tell you something this morning, my friends? God expects us. He says, I want you to be a minister. And you'll be a servant. You'll be a minister when you serve the Lord. Jesus said, I came to serve mankind. He hung on a cross naked before a holy God in a sinful world. As God's servant, He understood in the flesh that the flesh meant nothing. He understood that without His serving the Lord and giving His sacrifice of Himself, that there'd be no salvation, that only thing we could hope for is to live a long life, and that because when we die, we'd go to hell. I thank God that Jesus was willing to serve the Lord and give Himself. But can I say this morning, we are all to be servants. We're to serve in His Word. We're to serve in His Word. God says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. God says, study to show thyself approved. God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Serve in His Word. Listen, we ought to read it. We ought to study it. We ought to learn it. We ought to listen to it preached and taught. I thank God for the Sunday school lesson I heard today, Brother Choma. I got about 3 sermon ideas as you were writing, as I'm trying to fill in blanks. That don't happen everywhere I go. Amen. You're welcome. For all of us to be servants. We're to serve in His Word. We're to serve in His way. His way. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about we ought to do it correctly. We ought to do it as separated, sanctified, sincere people. Look at the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them, be separate. The Bible says, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God wants us, listen, He wants us to serve not only in His Word, but in His way. He wants us... Oh my goodness, I'm out of time. But let me just say this. I'll rush through it. I got six more points. We'll just hang on. I said 12 to an evangelist. It's still 11 o'clock. No, we're going to get out of here as quick as we can. But listen to me. We've got some kind of crazy idea that as his children, bless God, now that I'm saved, I can just do it. I can do what I want now, right? Wrong answer. When I first got saved, I had hair down the middle of my back. And I told the pastor, I said, hey, I'm going to go soul winning. He went, see me before Thursday night. He said, well, you and I need to talk. I showed up, hair down the middle of my back, Marlboro box right there. Just telling you what happened. And the pastor looked at me and said, Luke, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He said, if I asked you for a cigarette, what would you think of me? I said, I think you're a stinking heathen just like me. He said, if you walk into church and I sang some of the same songs that you probably have in your car right now, he said, if you got in my car, what would you think if I sang that stuff that you pulled in the driveway, rocking and rolling? And I said, well, probably not much. I said, I probably wouldn't think too highly of you. He said, be honest. He said, you'd think I'm just a wicked devil, no different than you. He said, by the way, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, just like you. He said, but God expects better than that. He expects better than that of his children. And I'm not saying, listen, don't get mad at me. I have said nothing for you to get mad at yet. You come back tonight, I'll work on it. But here's what God said. God said, if you're going to serve in my will, you're going to have to do it the right way. There's just some things, if you're going to serve in my way, then it's got to be with a separated life. It's got to be with a sanctified or a holy life. It's got to be to where people look at you and they say, I think they're sincere. I'm not perfect. Man, listen, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I make mistakes. I sin all the time. I mess up all the time. But I'm trying. And until I get to heaven and I get my perfect body, I'm stuck with this. Now, Brother Chalmers said he's going to be 60 years old next year. 2018, I'm going to be 60 years old in 5 months. Let's not even talk about that. And I'm not looking forward to it. Of course, 3 months before I turned 50, I cried for 3 months before. Don't ask why. I don't know. I know why. I'm going to be a half a century old. People sent me black balloons and walkers. All of my family and friends, you know, that I love. And that I prayed for, that I used to pray for, I don't anymore. Scratch you off my list. Sixty is just another day. Just thank God for every day I get. Boy, as I think about what Solomon said. Solomon said, he said, behold. I wanted to do this and go, behold! Which means, hey, pay attention! Look at what God has said to me. I purpose to build. You know what your pastor did a number of years ago? You know what Brother Choma did a number of years ago? God said, hey, behold, I got something for you to do. And they went, okay. And God put in their heart a desire, a purpose, a desire, a drive, that which says, you go do what I tell you. purpose to build. For the last 35 years being in the ministry, since 1980, I graduated in 84. What's that make it? 32 years, almost 33. For the last 33 years, in college, you know what college did for me? College solidified the call to preach, and it gave me direction. It gave me my purpose. They gave me my purpose. Brother Howells made this statement, and I quote, he said, I remember he was in his late 50s, and while I was in Bible college, and he said, from now on, he says, my life is going to consist of, I'm going to give my life to promoting the blood, the book, and the body. I remember him saying that in a service, and I went, I don't remember when it was. All I remember is I caught it. I went, well, what? And God said, yes, that's what I want you to do. I want you to give your life for the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to give your life for the book, for the book. I want you to give your life from now on and for the body. What's the body? The body of Christ. The believers. And I said, Lord, if it be okay, for those body of believers, I'll just add those that don't believe so that we can make them part of the body. And I believe that's what Brother Howells meant. And so I tried to give my life, and and God gave me, He refined my purpose. My purpose to build. Can I say, we went to Burma this last year, and we spent 29 days in Burma. You're allowed to stay for 28 on your visa. On the 29th day, we had to get on an airplane, and we were leaving. And we got to see 135 people, I mean, that I led to Christ personally. I mean, we got to talk to them. A lot of things transpired that weren't supposed to, and a lot of things got in the way of what we thought was in the way, but God had a purpose for us. And can I tell you something? You come back tonight and I'll talk a lot more about it. But here's what I want to say. What's your purpose tonight? What's your purpose this morning in life? What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Can I say your purpose in God is to be saved? Your purpose in God is to serve. Your purpose in God is your purpose in God is explicit. God is very explicit about what He says. He says, Solomon said this, and behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, and as the Lord spake unto my father, David, my father. He said, hey, my purpose is specific. It's explicit. God told David and told me the same thing. I'm going to build. I'm going to build a place. Can I say it's personal? I'm building in accordance to God's proclamation. It's powerful. And I'm building as told my patriarch, my father. He passed down to me my purpose. Can I tell you something, my friends? We've been passed down our purpose. We've had it passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. My question to you is this. Will you fulfill your purpose? Will you fulfill your purpose this morning? I put all the notes away and I'm done. Will you fulfill your purpose this morning in God? What's my purpose, preacher? Number one, it's to be saved. If you're not saved, it's to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, if you've got any doubt at all, listen, it's not time to wonder. It's not time to leave like you are. It's time to get in all the way. It's time to find out for sure. There are men and ladies in this room, including myself, that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We can't save you. We can only show you what God says that you need to do. But you need to be saved. And then you and I as His children, if you're saved this morning, you and I as His children have a purpose. I believe our first purpose is to understand that He's the Lord and that I'm His servant and that I'm to serve Him exactly how He wants me to serve Him. He has a way and a will and a direction for my life. My question is, are you doing exactly what He says this morning? Are you doing exactly what He says this morning? Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Have you ever asked yourself, I wonder what my purpose is? I know, not because I'm smart, because I can read. And I just simply read, listen, God says, your purpose is to be saved, and then your purpose is to honor and bring honor and glory to me with your life. That's your purpose. And it's a special, specific, explicit purpose. God says, I expect you to get on it right away.